Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I do encourage you to check out our other podcasts, particularly on The Amazing World of Radio. We will have our Christmas programs Thursday through Saturday of this week. But if you want more Christmas, check out The Amazing World of Radio, amazing.greatdetectives.net, where we'll have four Christmas-themed episodes starting this Thursday and continuing on a off-and-on basis until Christmas Eve. So check it out, amazing.greatdetectives.net. You can also hear all of our previous holiday podcasts, as well as all the great series that we've done that have been voted on by our Patreon supporters. Check it out at amazing.greatdetectives.net. Also, check out our World War II podcast at thewar.greatdetectives.net and the video version of this podcast at videotheater.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of It's a Crime, Mr. Collins. The original air date, April the 1st, 1957, and the title is The Dull Blue Treasure.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
It surely is. After all, when another woman wants to give a private showing of the Dance of the Seven Veils for your husband, that's murder. Or my name isn't Gail Collins. Yes, I'm the wife of that famous or infamous private detective, Greg Collins. And I'll be back in a minute to set the stage for our puzzling crime.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
I call this adventure The Dull Blue Treasure, Jack.
Okay, Gail, but you said something about the Dance of the Seven Veils.
I did. Get that wolfish look out of your eyes.
Well, all right, but let's get to this yarn, ma'am. I've got to hear about that dance.
Well, Greg and I were in our hometown for a change in San Francisco. The big news of the week, as far as we were concerned, was that the Gold Coast Theater had revived nothing less than real, old-fashioned vaudeville. So Greg and I bought two seats down front in the orchestra and two enormous bags of popcorn and sat back to have ourselves a perfectly wonderful time.
Alice, they're changing the card. The next act is Flappy McTavish.
What? Flappy McTavish? Where did I hear that name before?
I got an autographed picture of him in my office. Remember? He's one of the greatest old-time vaudeville comics that ever lived. My father used to tell me about it.
Here he comes. Greg in that red wig and those baggy pants.
Hey, it's Flappy.
Yeah, hurry, was you gonna ask me something?
Sure, Flappy. I was gonna ask you how you gonna elope with your girl.
I'm gonna take a tube of shaving cream with me.
A tube of shaving cream? What good will that do?
I'm gonna squeeze it and climb up the ladder. Dear ladies and gents, I will now render meaning to tear apart, that beautiful ballad, Run Into the Roundhouse, Nelly, He Can't Corner You There.
I've got to stop that Flappy from singing.
I'll bet he hits him with a custard pie, Greg.
No, he's going to do the rubber knife gag. See, Gail? See that big knife the stooge has? He'll stab Slappy, and Slappy will go right on singing. Then he shoots him, and that doesn't work. But then a gorgeous girl goes by.
Shut up, you're spoiling it for me.
Okay, but watch. He's going to stab him.
Yes, sirree. I've got to stop that singing. This will do it.
Greg, he's in real pain. Is that blood on his shirt part of the act?
I don't like the way this looks. Could be part of the act.
Slappy! It's Slappy! What's happened? Slappy! Hey, get a doctor, somebody! I've killed him! I've killed him!
Greg and I fought our way out of the crowd in that theater and started snooping around backstage. All right, genius. Where do we start?
We start by talking to that old gentleman standing by the curtain ropes.
Say, Pop.
Yes, son? What can I do for you?
Pop, my name's Collins. This is Mrs. Collins.
How do you do?
I'm a private detective.
My boy, I've told the police everything I know. Of course, I'd be glad to answer any more questions.
Did you get to see much when they knocked up Slappy?
Nope. You see, my job here is raising and lowering the curtain. That knife scene's usually pretty long. It gets a lot of laughs. So I was just squatting off in the wings there, trying to light my pipe without the fireman seeing me. A terrible thing that was, son, when Slappy died. We all love Slappy, you know.
Anybody else in the wings when the act was on top?
Yep, Candy Traverne. She's the veil dancer. I saw her standing around, and Jackie Steen, he's the prop man. There he is, over there.
He's the man to talk to first, Greg. The rubber knife that turned out to be made of steel is a prop, isn't it? And is Jackie Steen to be in charge of it?
There's someone much more important that we have to talk to first, Gail.
Who's that?
The man who actually stabbed Slappy.
Harry Cash? Oh, he's upstairs. He's all broken up. The police couldn't get a word out of him. He needs a doctor, Harry does.
Which dressing room is Harry's, Pop?
Right up that little iron stairway, Mr. Collins. Dressing room 60.
Come in.
Oh, Mr. Cash, my name is Collins. I'm a private detective. This is my wife, Gail.
Hello, Mr. Cash.
What do you want?
Got any ideas about who did the job on Slappy? We spoke to Pop downstairs.
The old guy that works the curtain. Yeah, he's whacked up, too. What'd he tell you?
It was very touching, Harry. He said everybody loved Slappy.
It didn't have nothing to do with Slappy. Nothing personal. It's probably a count of the diamond. Slappy was just part of the whole setup.
Diamond? Now we're getting somewhere. Who's Diamond?
I told this to the cops. How many times do I gotta go through this? There was a babe named Helen Lamont. She was an actress, made a lot of dough. Me and Slappy and Pop and Candy and Jackie, we all worked with her about 18 years ago. She was an all right kid. We played every tank town in the country with Helen. Her only trouble was every time she made a buck, she gave it away. She got pneumonia one night after the show in Fort Wayne. Just before she died, she said she wanted to leave something with the gang. It was a diamond with a carload of lettuce. An uncut stone. It was all she had. No savings, no nothing. She told us to cash it in and split up the dough.
Did you do it?
Well, we started to, but none of us had the heart. We decided to keep it. We bought a safe deposit box in a bank. Each of us had a key. And then the market crashed. Vaudeville blew up. We couldn't help ourselves. We were going to see what we could raise on the stone, and it was gone.
Gone? Did you ever find it?
No. I ain't seen it in years. But if you ask me, someone around here's got it and is bumping off everybody who's entitled to a cut. Jackie Steen, for instance.
The prop man?
Yeah, Jackie's a phony. Only guy in the outfit nobody will play gin with. He's a natural crook. He got out of the theater in 29 and went into bootlegging. Why don't you bother him with your questions? He could have switched the knives easier than anybody.
Thanks, Harry, I will.
There's that prop man's door, Greg. Let's go. Let's speak to this Jackie Steen.
Okay, let's. We can speak to him, Gail.
Isn't he in there?
Yes, he is.
Well, let's go.
Stay out of here, Gail. I don't want you to see this. It's not very pretty.
But
Jackie Steen's throat's been cut.
Keep your ears pinned, friends. We'll be back in a minute with more of the story. It didn't take any more persuasion from Greg for me to forget about Jackie Steen, lying in the prop room with his throat cut. I've been through plenty of killings with Greg, but I still can't stomach the really vicious ones. The police weren't at all happy since Jackie Steen had been murdered under their very noses. While they poked around in the prop room, Greg was ready to visit a new customer. And a very fancy customer she was, too.
Well, this is Candy's dressing room, Gail. Now, wait outside.
You've got a good case. Me? Wait outside? While you're in there alone with a veil dancer?
Now, Gail, don't be ridiculous. I'm going in here to talk to her about the case. I'm going in on business.
What kind of business?
It's all perfectly legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm not susceptible to women like that.
I'm going to give you 5 minutes in there, Greg, and if you're not out...
Okay, it's a deal.
The last time you spoke to a female suspect, you came out of the room with lipstick all over you.
Well, she was the impulsive type.
So am I. Whenever there's monkey business, I stop throwing things.
You won't have to. Bye, darling.
Bye, dear. Come in.
Miss Treverne?
Hello.
I'm Greg Collins. I'm investigating Slappy McTavish's death.
Sit down, Mr. Collins. Have a drink?
No, thanks.
Don't drink, huh?
Oh, sometimes.
I know your type. Knew it the minute you walked in. The outdoorsy kind. Big, broad shoulders. You from the West?
Uh-huh.
I kind of suspected that, too.
Miss Treverne,
don't be so formal. My name's Candy.
Candy, now, about this diamond left to you and your friends by Helen Lamont.
Did you catch my act?
No. Haven't had a chance to see it. Now, about this diamond...
I do the dance of the seven veils. It's an oriental dance. The MC, when he introduces me, calls it the dance of love. Want to see a little bit of it?
Warm in here, isn't it?
I do a brand new version of it. Most girls take the veils off, but I put them on, one by one. I'll show you. I start out this way, see?
Candy, stop.
Don't you like it?
Whether I like it or not, I still want to know who killed Slappy McTavish and Jackie Steen.
Oh, that.
You were part of the group that was given Helen's diamond, weren't you?
Uh-huh.
You were in the wings when Slappy was stabbed, right?
Look, handsome, you're wasting a lot of valuable time if you think you're going to nail me for this rap.
Maybe.
Why don't you talk to Horry Cash? He was Slappy's steward. He used the knife.
I did talk to him.
Well?
Horry's not in a very good mood. Candy, if you could tell me more about that diamond, for instance, where you think it might be.
They tell me you Westerners aren't half as cold as you look. You sure you don't want to see my dance? Watch. I wear this under the veil, see?
You could wash that costume of yours in a demi-tasse.
Pretty, isn't it? With all the sequins and the jewelry. Now I pick up one veil and the music starts.
Hello, Gail.
I hope I'm interrupting.
I was just asking Candy a few questions.
$64 one?
Now, Gail.
She sounds like she's your wife.
She is.
You're a very lucky woman, Mrs. Collins. How'd you ever catch him?
Well, I don't do a veil dance, Candy. But there are other ways. If Greg hadn't left Candy's dressing room that minute, I'd have grabbed him by the ear, tall as he is, and pulled him out bodily. That dancer was coming on like the super chief. Outside Candy's room, Greg recuperated from the gals. Hypnotic influence very quickly. He was worried about the case. It was obvious that having killed two people, the murderer was off on a spree and might decide to do away with a few more. And Greg, my very clever husband, was stumped. Then he decided to make a shot in the dark. He persuaded the police to let him take Pop, the old gentleman who worked the curtain, to a nearby lunchroom for coffee. Greg thought the sweet old geezer might give him a clue about Harry Cash or Candy.
Pop, this actress that died, Helen Lamont, did you know her very well?
Yeah, I certainly did, Mr. Collins. You know, she was the kindest and gentlest and most beautiful gal that you've ever seen. Would you like to see a picture of her, Mr. Collins?
Got one, Pop?
Oh, I got dozens of them. Here, in my wallet. I kept all the clippings about her. Go on, take a look at them. You'll just see what the newspaper boys thought of Helen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a swell picture of her, isn't it?
Yeah. Pop, could I keep one of these clippings? Would you mind very much? I'll give it back to you tomorrow.
Go right ahead, Mr. Collins.
Yeah. This clipping will do. Yeah, I just want a picture of her. Have you finished your coffee, Pop? I want to get back to the theater.
Yeah, got an idea about who's been doing all the killing?
Well, Pop, you know, you can't fish without bait. That's been my trouble up till now. But at last, I have some bait.
Don't go away. In just a moment, we'll bring you the climax of the case. When Greg returned to the theater with Pop, the show was on again. The manager had put up a very convincing, tearful performance for the police about how the show must go on. Actually, of course, what worried him was the money he was losing as long as the box office was closed. I knew my Greg had got hold of a very worthwhile clue because he was behaving strangely, like a foxhound that's got the scent. He took me into the stalls as the first act ended. Greg, this is silly. You saw this show.
I never got to see Candy do a veil dance, though.
If that's why you brought me here...
Sit down, baby. Take it easy. I don't want to see that dance because of what you think.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, the sensational, the entrancing little lady who brings you all the beauty and mystery of the Orient in a gorgeous face and figure, Miss Candy Traherne doing the dance of love, the dance of the seven veils!
Lovely costume she almost has on, isn't it? Of course, she had to make it sparkle with all that 5 and 10 cent store jewelry. Greg, I said that's a love... Greg, will you come out of that trance and stop staring at her? It's positively insulting to me.
That's it. Come on, Gail, I've got the answer. We're going backstage.
But why? What are we going to do? What are you up to?
Promise not to give me a fast left to the chin if I tell you?
Huh?
I'm going to solve this case by...
Yeah?
By having a very close look at Candy's costume.
Why, Mr. Collins, how nice to see you. Don't tell me you missed my number, because if you did, I'd be glad to do it again for you. Here, just for the two of us.
Come on in, Gail, and close the door.
Right, Greg.
Hey, wait a minute, what are you up to? When'd you get the gun?
Candy, you're going to let my wife take that costume off you. I'll wait outside. But get this, I don't want any shenanigans. The minute I step outside, get that costume off and hand it to Gail. Is that clear?
I certainly will not do that.
I don't like using this .38, Candy. But if I have to, I will.
Okay, I'll do it.
I'll be right outside this door. And make it fast in there.
Shouldn't take me more than 5 seconds, Greg.
Come on, come on.
Here it is, Greg.
Good. I'm locking your door, and I've got the key, Candy, so just sit down and relax. You're going to be in there for quite some time.
Wait, you can't.
That does it.
Let me out of here. Let me out of here. Let me out.
Hey, let me see that costume. Here it is.
Greg, that's
the diamond. The uncut diamond, right?
How'd you know
it
was?
The last time I was in Candy's dressing room, she pointed out that a costume had jewelry on it. It occurred to me that putting the real diamond in among all the fake stones on an outfit of hers would be a very convenient place for the killer to hide this 24-carat baby. Then, when we watched Candy's dance, I saw it. Cut diamonds glisten, Gale. They sparkle blue-white. But uncut diamonds look like this one in my hand, a dull, chalky blue. I spotted it from our seat in the stalls. Every other stone in her costume sparkled but this one. We were all thinking of a sparkling diamond, not one that looks like this.
Then Candy stole it, and she killed Slappy and Jackie Steen. She was going to kill them all, so she'd have the diamond to herself.
Sorry, pal, no. Now, come with me to the wardrobe room and see if you can make yourself look like this picture of Helen Lamont.
I fixed myself up. I didn't look exactly like Helen Lamont, but by using a few makeup tricks and wearing her clothes that we found in the wardrobe room, the resemblance was strong enough to scare the daylights out of anyone who knew the dead woman. Greg walked me past the long line of dressing rooms and stopped in front of one door.
The murderer is in that room, Gale. Now go on in and say just what I told you to say. And be careful, darling. You're dealing with a homicidal maniac.
Oh, fine thing. You think of the nicest things for me to do.
Go on in.
Okay. Hello, Pop.
Helen Lamont.
They do call you Pop now, don't they? But I remember you when you were young.
No, you're dead. You're dead. You can't come back. Helen, you found the diamond. You're wearing the diamond. It was my diamond because you were mine. Those others didn't deserve it. They wanted to sell it, but not me. I kept everything of yours. Your clothes, your makeup. And your diamond traveled wherever the show went. I always hid it as part of the show. I loved you, and you loved me. You told me that. You said I was the one you loved. They almost found it this week. I couldn't let them have it. Not my stone. So I had to kill them. I killed McTavish and Steen. I'll kill them all. They mustn't touch anything of yours. Everything that belonged to you is mine. Only mine.
Don't come near me. Greg!
All right, Pop. I heard everything I wanted to. And now all we gotta do is wait for the cops.
Later that night, at home.
Gail, will you please turn out that light and come to bed?
Uh-huh.
What are you doing in front of that mirror?
I want to see if I'm as good as she is.
Hmm? As good as who is?
Candy. I'm practicing the veil dance. Greg?
Hmm?
How'd you know Pop was who you were looking for?
From the newspaper clipping he showed me.
The one with a picture of Helen Lamont?
Uh-huh. Didn't you see the man standing next to her in the picture? All he had to do was take about 15 years off Pop, and he was the man. Besides, underneath it said he did a knife act with Helen. A real knife act. Not one of those phonies with a fake backboard where the knives pop out. So, you take Pop and his knives. All you have to do is scare him into a confession by dressing your wife up like Helen Lamont. There was only one thing I admired about Pop.
What was that?
Well, he certainly picked an interesting place to hide that diamond. Passing it onto Candy's costume along with the cheap stones.
Greg.
Eh?
Could you please stop thinking about Candy? And concentrate on me?
You know, that's a darn good idea. Come here, Mrs. Collins.
Don't go away. In just a moment, we'll be back with you.
Well, folks, Gade and I hope you enjoyed our adventure, The Dull Blue Treasure. Be sure to visit us next time for another Puzzle in Murder, for where there is crime and romance. There you'll find Mr.
and Mrs. Collins.
Welcome back. That's quite the pronunciation of what I've always pronounced as vaudeville. That seems kind of like a foreign pronunciation, but I do recall hearing some different spins on how people pronounce it, even over American radio. The big problem, I think, with this episode is I'm really unclear why Greg is investigating this. This seems to be one of those cases where it's thought that the private investigator just investigates things, whether there's a reason to or client or not. And it's particularly weird because there was no interaction between him and the official police. It's like you're putting your wife's life on the line. Why? But at any rate, I do want to turn to listener comments and feedback, and I got this interesting tweet this past week. Ryan writes, you probably already knew this, but I was looking up Larry Dobkin a while back and found out he played Klingon Ambassador Kel in Star Trek. I actually did not know that. Yeah, he was in the Star Trek The Next Generation episode, The Mind's Eye. So if you want to connect the Saint and Star Trek, you know, by mutual actors, there you go. Or if you're building one of those, you know, 6 degrees of separation, you've got a connection between Vincent Price and anyone in TNG. So thanks so much for that. Appreciate that information, Ryan. All right, well, I do want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Blaine. Blaine's been one of our Patreon supporters since January 2017. Currently supporting us at the rookie level of $2 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support, Blaine. And that will do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Rocky Jordan. Next Tuesday, we'll be back with another episode of It's a Crime, Mr. Collins. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. I'm signing off.